Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is from Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is our text. You may be seated. Well, after Jesus says these words, he leads them out to Bethany on the Mount of Olives, where he blesses his disciples and ascends, or as the text put it, he was carried up into heaven. He leaves them behind to accomplish the work he had set out for them. But I mean, what was he thinking? Leaving behind a bunch of unschooled fishermen, a tax collector, and disciples who would probably not be on most congregations' call lists, right, due to their basic lack of qualifications. Then again, I don't think even Jesus would make it in some congregations' call lists after their self-study. But in looking at this text, I see a few things going on here, and just to make this a three-point sermon, you know, right? First of all, Jesus tells them to stay in the city. Secondly, he tells them at some point they are going to be clothed with power from on high. And then third, not just any power, but power from on high. So I want to take that next few minutes here to talk about these three observations. First of all, why stay in the city? I mean, I would think that Jesus would want them to get the word out, you know, as soon as possible. After all, there was no time to lose. He had risen from the dead. He had given them the authority to forgive and retain sins. They even had a power over evil spirits, the snakes and everything else that was dangerous. I mean, the disciples were primed. They were ready to go, pumped up before the big game. But he tells them to stay in the city, stay in Jerusalem until. Well, what's going on with this staycation that he's ordered his disciples to take? Stay in the city. The word actually is more like take a seat, you know, sit down. Take some time to process all that you have just seen and heard. Take some time to get your heart ready for what is going to happen pretty soon. Take some time to pray, because you're going to need it. So often we just want to rush out and do something, and we're often dominated by the tyranny of the urgent. We think the email that's bothering us needs a reply, you know, the insult we endured needs an answer. This is the 21st century, the age of instant everything. Gotta deal with it now or it will be too late. So I invite you to take a moment right now to hear Jesus saying to you, stay, wait. Don't be tyrannized by the urgent, stop. Get off that hamster wheel of your life for just a minute and think, you know, what are you doing and why are you doing what you're doing? Are you tyrannized by the urgent? Are you convinced life won't happen without you? Jesus says, stop. Stay. Take a minute. Take some time to assess the situation. Figure out what's going on. I mean, he told the disciples to stay in the city, stay in Jerusalem. Maybe even go back and visit the place where Jesus was crucified. Have another look at the empty tomb. Go to that upper room where you had your last supper with him. Stroll through Gethsemane and remind yourselves how you all fled. Visit the outer courts where Peter denied him. What do you learn? What should you remember? What should you forget? What do you need to forget? And maybe even have Matthew write some of this down. Stay in the city until, he says, until you are clothed with power. And the power here is not authority or exousia, although they get that too, but it's power like dynamite, it's dynamis. Jesus knew what awaited his disciples, his followers, and as he told them in John 16, he knew they would have trouble in this world. He knew they would face opposition. He knew they would be thrown into jail, and he knew all of them but one would face a gruesome death just like his. This was not something they could face on their own. This was not going to be a cakewalk or like walking on water. He knew they were in for trouble, but he had told them previously to take heart. I have overcome the world, he said. He had warned them in John 15, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Only a fool would go out on his own into the world, this hostile world that they were going to face. Jesus had told them they were going to need power. Power from on high. Power that would be like dynamite, breaking through the opposition like a fullback with a front line made up of 300-pound blockers. You know, like Bruce Almighty, I got the power. And that power, well, that would come 10 days later at Pentecost when they would receive the Holy Spirit. And as you know, in the early church, Ascension and Pentecost, or maybe you didn't know, they were originally celebrated together. And they connected the power that Jesus promises here with the Spirit given a little over a week later that would set the world on fire. I mean, just think about it. 3,000 people were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins in one day. And the disciples were able to communicate in languages they never had known before. They got the power. Jesus said they would be clothed with it. And that's an interesting way to put it. They would be clothed with power from on high. I mean, it wouldn't just descend on them or possess them or indwell them. They would be clothed with it. Kind of like what reminds me of what Paul said in Ephesians 6 when he tells them to put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, Paul says. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces from evil of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take on the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. That's what Paul talks about when he says he's talking about being clothed with, I guess, that power Jesus was talking about. Clothed with God's Spirit. Jesus knew they would be engaging in spiritual warfare just like you do, you know, day in and day out. And let me tell you about a time when Satan kind of showed his hand to me. This was concerning the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. And this was back when I was a seminarian, not here, but in St. Catharines, Ontario, where I was attending a recital that my wife was playing at. And my wife, by the way, doesn't like this story because I was supposed to be talking about her beautiful music, and I end up talking about this. But it was beautiful music that she had played. But for me, it was the reception afterwards that I remember most vividly, because there was this young woman who started talking to me. And then her eyes turned into these cat-like eyes. I don't know how else to describe it. She wanted me to know that she was a witch. And I told her, thanks for sharing. I was kind of wondering why she was so interested in the cemetery out back, by the way. And at any rate, she wanted me to know that she was praying for me. You know, and she was praying for other seminarians too, which I thought, oh, that's nice, until I found out what she was praying. She told me that she and other witches prayed to Satan for the downfall of pastors, that we would fail. And I again thanked her for sharing, and then went to find my girlfriend, who I later married 34 years ago. Yeah. Well, I learned two things from this encounter. Not everybody was glad that I was going into the ministry. There were actually people praying and working towards my failure. Now, granted, they were praying to Satan, who has no power because he's been defeated. But still, they were actually praying for our failure, yours and mine. And then it also reminded me that our battle really is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of this world, who joined in rebellion with Satan and now are awaiting the judgment. They've been defeated, yes, but they're ticked off as hell, and hell-bent on our destruction. And thirdly, I remember that we have a bummer of a birthmark. If you remember that Far Side cartoon with Hal the deer, you know, whose birthmark is a bullseye, Yeah, well, we have a birthmark from our baptism that marks us as targets in this world. And until Christ comes again, I'm here to remind you the strife may be o'er and the battle won, but we're still under siege. So let me leave you with two things in conclusion here. On this feast day of St. Jerome, I'm reminded of how he talks about his time in the desert and the spiritual attacks he underwent. And he had to say this. He said, "So long as we're held down by this frail body, so long as we have our treasure in earthen vessels, so long as the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, there can be no sure victory. Our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But the devil isn't looking for unbelievers. It is the church that he's after." So let me conclude with this thought. I mean, the devil is indeed walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In these days, with Hurricane Ian, the pandemic, war in Ukraine, civil war in Ethiopia, the financial turmoil, it may seem like the very four horsemen of the apocalypse themselves have been unleashed as well. I mean, it may be a great time to be the church, but it is not an easy time, and it never has been. So what can we do? Well, when Jesus left his disciples, he told them to wait in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. Wait in the city. Prepare yourself for what lies ahead, in other words, and realize that you cannot do this on your own. You and I, we need that power from on high, the promised Holy Spirit. And every time we engage his word, every time we return to the bummer of our birthmark that we received in baptism, every time we get inoculated with the medicine of immortality in the sacrament, we are being clothed with power from on high, that power from on high. And so I invite you this morning to pray without ceasing to receive that power, and it will be granted to you for the battle that lies ahead. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.